Welcome to the Resilience Unlimited Show, your go-to podcast for empowerment and growth. I'm Coach Dr. Lauren, founder of Resilience Unlimited, inviting you to join our transformative journey each week. This space is specially crafted for high-achieving women, specifically women of color, where we can feel seen, heard, and part of a thriving community. This podcast is your compass for emotional regulation, understanding your purpose, and living unapologetically authentic. Ready to invest in yourself? Welcome back, ladies, to the Resilience Unlimited show. We have another amazing guest, another woman of color. So always so excited to bring amazing people to the show. So as you all know, I love for you to support the show. So whether you are listening on YouTube, be sure to hit that subscribe button, comment, like, share. If you are listening wherever you get podcasts, be sure to do the same. I have really loved meeting such amazing women in this journey because I can definitely talk to myself, as you all know, if you've been dedicated listeners forever. But I just love these rich conversations and the authenticity in which it brings the space where we can really have that safe space. So I'm excited to introduce, well, I'm going to let my guest introduce herself. But Monica, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Dr. Lauren, for having me. I will introduce myself. My name is Monica Rivera. I am a 20-year marketer turned personal branding expert and business coach. I've also been a speaker for about 10 years, speaking on my own, which has been really rewarding. And my mission really is to help women, and specifically women of color, build a personal brand around their expertise and their story so that it not only commands attention, but it attracts the opportunities. Because there's so much more than what our job title says that we are.
Yeah.
And I help women really extract that and then monetize their message.
I love that. I probably could really use your services because I feel like it is really hard to kind of get your brand and what does that look like and how do you live, breathe, speak your brand and all of that. So that is amazing. So I'm excited to really have an amazing conversation with you today. So those of you know, I always have a very rich question. And so I have one today for my guest, Monica, that I'm going to read and we're going to delve right into. So yeah. Monica, as a first-generation Latina from New York City, your journey from a successful corporate career to entrepreneurship is not only a story of reinvention, but also one of breaking barriers for women of color. So I'm curious, and the audience is too, can you share a specific instance where being a woman of color presented, let's say, a unique challenge or opportunity in your career transition? And how did you navigate any of those obstacles related to your identity and embracing that cultural background that contributed to your success?
Absolutely. And I love this. I love the juicy question.
Yes.
So I will say this as someone who, so I grew up in the Bronx and I went into corporate America, I would say very kindly, rough around the edges. So if you think I have a New York accent now, if you had met 21-year-old me, I sounded like Cardi, right? Like I had a very, you know, rough accent and no one can tell me when people would call me out on it. I'd say, what are you talking about? Like I didn't hear it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I worked hard to kind of smooth some things out. And I found in corporate America, my approach, my directness, my willingness to call people out was at first a big detriment. So
Yeah. People
knew that I was a really good worker and I was a fast learner and I took a lot of initiative, but my communication style could definitely use some finessing. And I was very fortunate because my very first manager was also a man of color. And so it's not very often that we go into these corporate spaces and we find this, especially in our leadership roles. And he was very gentle and understanding of, I know that like I have this really good piece of clay, essentially, but I just
mold and shape.
Mold it exactly into something that's going to be a little bit more amenable so that she has a smoother career. And because he was able to do that behind the scenes and never directly calling me out, but really just saying, okay, this is a way that you might want to think about it, or this is how people are hearing it. It really sort of helped support me. And I was able to move up the corporate ladder very quickly in that first job and then moved over to different companies. In one particular company, I found, though, let's just say they have a diversity problem. Ooh, and a diversity okay. problem that exists not just from having more people of color, but also just gender. And okay. I was specifically on teams with men that were typically white men,
right.
that were older, that had advanced degrees in science and math and engineering, and I had a different skill set. And I was often told about how my skill set was different and how I was different. I was called names like Maria instead of Monica.
And oh, so God.
There were these things that would happen repeatedly. And one time I was pulled aside. And interestingly, the manager of that group, so a much higher level VP, was a woman. And she asked, do you ever feel like you're part of the good old boys club? And I remember there was that moment
wow.
of, am I honest about it? Or do I yep, give right. a corporate answer, right? So again, right. it was like 21-year-old me would have absolutely had everything to say about it. And I took a pause and I chose my words carefully. And I said, well, I definitely don't feel like I'm a part of it, but right. I know that it exists.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it was enough for her to understand. Because it was very challenging. It was going into spaces and being told to take notes. Even right. though I was already a senior member of the team, even though there were people that had joined the company after me, I was seen as the woman, as the person who should take the notes. And I had to actually call people out very lovingly at a break. And I said, I don't think I should be the person taking notes. That's not my function. And if mm-hmm. we're going by seniority, then there's four other people that have been here less right. time than I have, and maybe they should do it. I don't think the optics really work.
Mm.
And so sometimes it's just about peppering those phrases.
Right.
But all of those accumulation of experiences reminded me of feeling a little bit like an outsider, feeling like, right. yes, I'm here in this company and technically I belong, but I don't feel that way. I've even had instances where people have spoken to me and kind of snapped their fingers, like in living color type sketches, like to talk to me and maybe emphasize points. They've used words that just language that they've used,
yeah.
thinking that they're connecting with me, but at the same time are very stereotypical languages and phrases.
The microaggressions.
Yes, calling me spicy and like these types of things.
Yeah.
And so dealing with a lot of that, and I mean, they're minor compared to things that other people might face, but the accumulation doesn't yeah. make it like a fun place to show up. But
exactly.
at the same time, what I found for me, and I think what so often many of us as women of color have to do, is we really leverage, well, what is our sweet spot?
Mm.
And I focused on what is my sweet spot and what is my differentiator going to be amongst this group of people.
Right.
And what I found for me is that same thing that was a hindrance when I first started my career, which is my communication style, ended up actually becoming my gift. Because while all these men with their advanced degrees, when they had to explain concepts, everyone in the room would just look at them blinking, like, I don't understand what you're talking about.
Right.
But I had the ability to understand what they were doing from a technical standpoint, but mm-hmm. be able to translate it to people
that they can
understand.
Yeah.
And I knew that was going to be the gift and that was going to be the way that I would be successful in the company. And then later, I transitioned that same gift to becoming a speaker and helping people do those same things.
That's amazing. You know, I think that, you know, we're in a time where it, in many cases, it does still feel like we're in the 60s. You know, it's going backwards in this country. And I do feel like there are some white folks out there who want to connect with us, but it's still in a very microaggression way. I don't know if that's the right phrase, microaggressionist way, but you know what I mean? And when you said it accumulates, I thought of this video. So I did this, those of you who are listening, if this is your first time listening, education's my background and I do a lot of like teacher trainings and stuff. So I did one about literacy and our brown and black kids and how, you know, it's just not good in our country. And I talked about microaggressions and there was this really awesome video where it related microaggressions to mosquito bites. Mm-hmm. And it was like, people of color get mosquito bitten like 50 times a day. So then when we snap at white people, they're like, what's your problem? So in my case, it'd be like, you're the angry black woman. For you, it'd be like, you're the spicy Latina woman. It's yeah. like, no, I've heard this 50 times and it's 1 o'clock. You know, absolutely. And it's just like, yeah. I'm going to blow my lid right now. So mm-hmm. I feel like there is so much of that still happening, whether it is intentional or not intentional. It's still something that needs to be brought to people's attention. And I think for you, being in corporate America, yeah, it is like an old boys network. You know, it's like, how do you find a place in that world if you're not the secretary? And again, that sounds like the 1960s. It sounds like Mad Men. You know? Yeah, like, absolutely. You're just outside being like, okay, your wife's online too. And it's like, no, I have a brain. I can talk. I can have a seat at the table. Yeah. So at what point did you say, like, basically, fuck this. I'm going to do my...
What point?
You know what's funny is that I don't know if there was a specific point, but I can say that other people would have noticed because I started to wear Air Force Ones to the office.
Stop.
I kid you not. And I was like, well, they're black. So they're like black shoes. It's fine. But I really feel like that was my effort moment.
You're like, I'm done.
I'm done with this, right? And so I was like all professional to the ankle and I had my Air Force Ones on. And I feel like mentally is because I was ready to go at any time. Yes. Like ready to take off. And that was just like one of the things for me where I really started to feel very disconnected to the yeah. work that I was doing. And also, I remember getting a phone call one time, and I've been able to do hybrid work for a very long time, well before a pandemic and things like that. And I received a phone call from a friend on my cell phone. So she had no idea if I was in the office or not. As soon as I said hello, she said, oh, I didn't know you were in the office today, just based off of the hello. And I remember asking, how do you know? And she said, because when you're in the office, you sound like you're disconnected from your body. And wow. I had already moved to that point where I don't think I had realized right. how it was permeating me on a whole different level, mm-hmm. but it really has. And I think the Air Force Ones really was the physical representation yeah. of it, of mm-hmm. something that had been happening over a very long time.
Wow. Yeah, you know, I do feel like when you are in a place of turmoil, because I've said this many times on a few episodes, but I was in my last school I was in was extremely racist. I mean, it wouldn't look like that on the outside on their website, but like I would say the turnover for teachers of colors were like 2 years. We just could not stay there. There wasn't a place for us. They pretended there was a place for us, but I think it just wore me down and mm-hmm. that resilience of like showing up and then feeling like, you know, why am I here? And I just feel drained and all of that. And I think we all get to that point as women of color, I can't speak for men, where enough is enough. And for me, I mean, I'm excited to hear your transition, but for me, I was literally like, fuck it, I'm done. I'm not signing a contract. And I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to figure it out. That was almost 2 years ago. That was June of 2022. And it's been, not an easy journey on this whole entrepreneurship. But honestly, I wouldn't trade it for anything because I've learned so much about myself. And I love that also, too. I love that I don't have to sit there and think about what someone else is going to think if I send this email or, right. you know, am I going to be called into the office because I was too direct or what? Like yeah. I'm my own boss, and then I can surround myself with other women or men that see me for me and appreciate my directness and, right. you know, my authenticity where that wasn't really welcomed. And if it wasn't, but it was more of like I was a problem. You know,
absolutely. And it's funny you mentioned Mad Men because I'm a huge Mad Men fan.
I love that show. I got to watch it again.
It's so good. And so I say, even when we think about the characters of Peggy and I yes. think was it Christina that was the other character? No,
Joan.
Peggy. So Christina was the actress that played her.
Yes.
They both found their ways. So mm-hmm. Peggy a little bit more forcefully of like, I'm going to elbow my way in there. But Joan had much more finesse of yeah. I'm going to observe how these men play the game and I'm going to figure out how I can do it better than they can. Yeah. And I think specifically as women of color, and I wonder if you agree, we have so much resourcefulness.
Yeah.
Just simply based off of our upbringing, the world around us, the expectations other people have, the expectations they don't have of us, that it creates this wealth of resourcefulness within us.
Yeah.
And it allows us to be able to navigate these spaces. And it's exhausting, but we're still able to do it so masterfully
yeah.
because we have to be so resourceful in so many areas of our life.
But you know what I saw? So to touch on that, I saw a video. I think I saw a reel, and then I saw a LinkedIn post like that same day. I was like, the universe wanted me to see this. And it basically was saying that I think it was specifically Black women, but I'm gonna categorize women of color are the best CEOs because of the amount of resilience that we've gone through. And it was, I think it was like Black women / women of color, white women, Black men, white men. And I thought that was interesting. And it had bullet points, you know, it, more mm-hmm. in depth. But I thought about it. And I'm like, yeah. I mean, the amount of like shit we have to go through, smile and grin that you're being called Maria, you know, yeah. like, really? No. Like, can I call you, you know, Steve when your name is John? No. Right, like, that's right. going to be disrespectful. But it's not disrespectful for you to not pronounce my name correctly or not, you right. know, actually call me by my name. So I found that actually to be very refreshing. I was like, you know what? Yes.
Yes. And it's validating, right? Because
absolutely.
It is confirming our experiences, because often we can feel, is this just happening to me?
Yes.
We're already feeling isolated. So we wonder, like, is it us? And oftentimes if we try to bring it up, especially to certain groups, we're told, well, maybe it's just in your head. They probably didn't.
The gaslighting.
Yes. And then again, we feel like, okay, like, I guess I'm misreading it. But when you see things like that, it just is proof. I want to slap the table, but I don't want to mess up the mic. Right? It's really that proof of like, yeah. I know that what is happening to me is very real and it's happening to other people.
Absolutely. So when did you leave and tell us about the business that you've built? I mean, this branding business, like, I love this.
So I am very risk averse. So I needed to tiptoe into the water to feel confident again. And I think also part of it was being in that environment and feeling, so there have been a number of reorgs that had happened. And if anybody listening has worked in a big corporate structure where there's reorgs that happen, they're not taking into account your professional goals. It's a reorganization and you become headcount at that point. Right. So you're just headcount that has to move over into this other organization. And sometimes it's related to what you do. And sometimes you find yourself wandering in the woods doing something completely different.
Right.
And so for me, I was that person who was now wandering in the woods. It might have been three reorgs in, and it's almost as if you're walking in the forest and you're looking at a map and you're just 1 degree off. If you keep walking 1 degree off, you find yourself in a completely different space. And so what happened is that I internalized that. I started to think, well, why am I not picking things up as quickly, or why aren't I getting promoted at the same level? Without really realizing, it's because this is not what you signed up to do. This right. is just a product of these reorgs. Mm-hmm. But as a result, I felt almost as if my lights had been dimming and I didn't have the same confidence, because there were so many circumstances in that role of where I felt like it wasn't a fit.
Right.
And so I started podcasting and I said, you know what? I'm going to light myself back up. And I am going to teach myself all of the things that are not happening in this corporate role that I'm in. And I'm going to give it a shot this way. And so all of the things that I had learned from my marketing career, I said, I'm going to pour into podcasting and I'm going to pour into myself. And I'm going to create a name for myself outside of the corporate masthead that is behind me, outside of the person signing my checks. I'm going to have many checks coming from different people, but to my business. And yes. so that was the goal that I had for myself. And systematically, that's what I did. But it started with the podcast. And then from there, I kept extending and shooting my shot, as I like to say,
yes.
in so many different places. And that's really been the way that I've started to build my business. It started with the podcast, but then it extended out beyond that until I was able to regain the confidence. And then also really look at myself as a right. good test case and say, I know I can help other women do the same thing.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. I love how you, so I'm the opposite. I'm like not risk, but I'm like, hey, yeah, let's just do it. You know, no contract signed. And I have, you know, kids. I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to leave this job and figure it out.
That's amazing.
But, well, you know, my husband was like, okay, what's the plan here? I'm like, the plan is we're going to figure it out. But I love how you used your voice in a way that maybe was silenced or mm-hmm. wasn't seen as valuable, you know, in that corporate space. So that's actually, it was probably very cathartic, right? Because you were still like Absolutely. At work, but yeah. then you're like, this is it. I got yes. my mic, you know, exactly. I can definitely speak. And I think for me, I'm all about organic connections and growth. And I think that probably was really the confidence builder for you, you know? And I think that so many women of color who are watching this and listening, and if you are out there wanting to build a business, you know, I definitely should do a solo episode on all of my blunders, all of my, you know, things that, like, it's not easy, but I think a lot of it is, the one thing that I can say that I've taken away from this, and you probably can too, Monica, is you have to have the confidence. You have to believe in yourself. You have to have that resilience. And I think that so often in our society, we are beaten down and made to feel less than. But if we can really rise above that, you know, and really say to ourselves, like, no, you know, I have this, I got this. And it doesn't matter what I look like. It doesn't matter what my accent sounds like, you know, like I can bring something amazing to the table.
Absolutely. So, and clarity comes from doing. I spend a lot of time, I think, because I'm someone who is multi-passionate, like many people are, and trying to decide, well, what's that thing going to be? And it's called You Want to Do What? My business is called You Want to Do What?
I like the title of your business. I was like,
I would tell myself, you want to do what? Lauren, I would tell myself the same thing every time I came up with a new idea. It was me talking to me of like, am I crazy to do this? And I think a lot of us start with that same thought of whether or not they're similar to you and they decide to go for it anyway, or they're a little bit more cautious,
reserved,
and more systematic. But I think it really is this, you want to do what? You're having this conversation with yourself about it first before you then take the leap and start to move forward. But I mean, it was the way that I really needed to do it. And it was life changing, completely changed. I remember in college when I was deciding on colleges, someone told me, well, once you get to college, no one cares where you went to high school. Once you get your first job, no one cares where you went to college. Yeah. And it's so interesting how that has proven to be the same way now, because no one cares about the companies I used to work before, even though they're all Fortune 500 companies, but no one asked me anything about them.
Right.
Because now I've been able to create something new. And that is the same thing that I see so many of my clients be able to do. And I know it's possible for so many women.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. I love that. Oh, wow. So Monica, we are actually coming to the end of our episode, and this is just, I loved this conversation. It was a nice flow. And since you're talking about your business, I'd love for you to share with the audience, and this isn't, you know, your links are in the show notes, but, you know, where can they find you? You know, what services do you offer? Do you only work with women of color? Do you work virtually just in New York City? Like, share a little bit about that with our audience.
Sure. So I can work with women wherever they are in the world. That's the beautiful piece of being connected and technology and all of that good stuff. And I work on a one-on-one coaching container when I have my coaching clients. And it's not just women of color. I've helped many women in all different backgrounds and some men as well.
Okay.
But I really believe that so many of us just need a little bit of that push. We need to learn how can we package that expertise that we have, because often we think our expertise is just related to the job that we have, but there's so much more that we have to offer. So a bit of it is also unlocking some of those things as well, and then crafting that marketing message and getting yourself out there so that you can pitch to people and position yourself in the right way. So that's the type of work I do with my coaching. And in speaking, I talk not only about personal branding, but also about employee experience and culture. After working in many different companies, I tend to speak about how can I try to create change from the inside so that people have a better experience while they're there. And ultimately, I'm just trying to make these micro shifts in the communities that I'm a part of and the corner of the internet where I sit and I play. How can I try to create change in those spaces? And so those are the two ways that we can work together. If anybody is interested, you can find all the information on the show links. And I would be so happy to talk with anybody. I do offer a discovery call. It's 1 hour to learn a little bit more about you. I can tell you about me and my process, and we can see if it's a fit.
I love that. Yes, the alignment is so good.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, as I always say, please share this episode with anyone. You know, it could really inspire them. It could inspire them to say, hey, you know what? This really was a game changer for me. Let me actually, you know, explore and actually utilize my resilience in a way that maybe I've never thought about. So Monica, thank you so much for being on the show this week. This was just such a pleasure to get to know you and your business and hear a little bit about your story.
Thank you so much for having me. It has been an honor to be just share the space with you and your community today. So thank you.
Absolutely. So I will see you ladies next week. Thank you for joining us this week on the Resilience Unlimited show. Be sure to hit subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. subscribe on our YouTube channel, and follow us on social media. See you next week, divas. And don't forget, stay resilient.